Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Are you trying to get it done? Are you trying to invest and go big? Today, you're going to meet some actual investors who are doing the thing on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Joining me as usual, co-host financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
We are enjoying the fact that many of our students are finding success in all kinds of walks of real estate life.
Absolutely. And I think that's important. I think the reason this show is so powerful for the folks out there that are maybe on the front end and are still in the hoping stage, they're wanting to do it, but they're not quite sure they believe they can do it. You know, if you have people who feel like they can do something and they go, okay, I want to try this, I'm going to give this a shot, that's one level. But if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I could raise $100,000 in the next 24 hours, I could get $1 billion, and it was guaranteed by Donald Trump or Bill Gates or somebody that had the ability to write that check, and it was in an escrow account, you could see it. You knew without a shadow of a doubt it would happen. Would you move heaven and earth to make that happen? And that's the power of belief. When you really believe. And so Roger Bannister, right, the guy who broke the 4-minute mile, right, for years people believed it was humanly impossible to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. And then one day some guy named Roger Bannister did it, and suddenly a lot of people could do it.
Yep.
And that's the power of proof of concept.
It's so important. We get out there and we get our arms around what it takes to invest in real estate, and then we run into all those disappointments. Well, I couldn't get it done. My finances were turned down. I missed. My offer was rejected. There were 3 offers and I lost. Whatever it is. And then the psychology of maybe it's not for me, and my friends think I'm crazy, and my wife says I should give it up and go back to work, and all those things. And that's easy to listen to. What's better to listen to is proof of success, proof of concept. When people have come before you, started where you started, and done it, that's amazing. And we love to do this show when we can. And several times in the past, we've gotten real investors from our real audience on the program to say, hey, tell us what you're doing. And today especially is cool, because as we travel around and we go to events, we meet people that are listening to the show, and sometimes we'll come on a field trip or come to an educational event or come on the summit, and we get to spend time with them and learn their stories. And there are amazing, amazing stories. Next week on the Real Estate Guys, just to give you a little sample, you're going to hear one of the most incredible real estate stories I have ever heard, and you're going to meet a gentleman who is absolutely going to blow you away. So this is a taste this week of some success, and it's going to be that on steroids. We thought if we started with next week's guest, it might just be too much. So we want you to understand there's lots of success out there, lots of people that for whom it didn't necessarily come easy, but they've learned, they've gotten educated, they've gotten the right team, and they've stuck with it.
I'm not sure success comes easy for anybody, and I'm not sure that if it did, whatever the definition of success is. If your definition of success is a certain amount of money, a certain amount of net worth, a certain amount of assets, a certain amount of awards, if that's your definition of success, I suppose some of that can come easy. But if your definition of success is becoming a better person by going through the challenges and tribulations of whatever you're endeavoring to do, right? The guy that climbs the mountain, if the goal is to get to the top of the mountain and you have a helicopter take you up there and drop you on the top of the mountain, are you as successful, or do you feel as successful as the guy who strapped on his boots and got at the bottom of the mountain and climbed that mountain and then stood there with his arms raised in triumph because he conquered the obstacle? To me, success is about going out and setting a lofty goal and then putting your heart and soul and everything you've got into achieving that goal and then standing there. The accomplishment is just a reflection of who you've become to get there. And to me, that's success. So I really love getting around people and hearing about the things they had to do and the sacrifices they had to make and the growth they had to experience to become successful. And it, to me, it's not a dollar amount. It's a condition of humanity.
Success is a process. It is the progressive realization of a goal. It isn't all overnight. It isn't all at once. And I agree, for the vast majority of people who find success, they've worked really, really hard at it. And they've bumped their heads and stubbed their toes and bruised themselves all over, because that's the process. I was fortunate to learn that lesson early when I went to a fairly affluent high school where most of the kids that I went to school with were given a car when they turned 16.
Right.
And the high school parking lot was filled with beautiful brand new cars. And my piece of junk 1968 bright green Dodge van, which I had to earn the money to get. And I'll tell you what, that was a tremendous lesson. At the time, I was whining and complaining about not having a great car like everybody else. But what I did is I learned the power of achievement. And some cool things happened, like occasionally on my birthday, I'd get a gift that would I'd open up and it would say, we've taken $100 off your car, because my parents loaned me the money to buy it. I put the first $500 in. I had to earn that. But to get to a car that was maybe $1,500 at the time, I had to really stretch. And they said, well, we'll loan you the money, but you've got to pay us. And I tell you what, I'm a better person for it. And it set me on that path. And you start to get around people that are self-made, and it's different, right? We spend a lot of our time around self-made people in general. The people that we deal with, the people that we spend time with, are people who weren't handed things. They're people who achieved things. And that's true of the gentleman you're going to meet today. And they're all gentlemen, and that's not because we don't have successful ladies in the program. It's because these are the people that we've spent time with recently and wanted to share their stories. We've got lots of more stories from investors on the way. And so today, sit back and listen to the trials, tribulations, and successes of some other Real Estate Guys listeners. Today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. And why U.S. real estate continues to drop, Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Garrett Sutton, Rich Dad's advisor. Remember, equity happens, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Today we're talking about proof of concept. If others have done it, you can do it. And the man you're about to meet has done it for sure. Please welcome to The Real Estate Guys radio program, Mr. E.J. Bodner. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Robert. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. I know that you're not a polished speaker or radio talk show guy, but your story is great because you are an accomplished E, an employee who doesn't hate his job, but in fact, loves his job.
Indeed, I do. So I'm fortunate to have a very enjoyable position. I lead global marketing for a high-tech company, a Fortune 15 company, for one of our business units. And I do. I love my job. I love the challenge. I love the people I meet. And I love what it's provided for me and my family.
And yet you've also found that there's certainly opportunity in real estate. And the last couple of years, you've really taken that on as well. Tell us about how that came about and what you're doing.
Well, it really was an interesting journey. So our eyes were open. We went to a Caribbean country, fell in love with that country, and our eyes were opened up to the opportunity of possibly investing in real estate and outside the U.S. So we went on a journey of educating ourselves, finding out more about real estate, about the market, and then it sort of just rolled from there.
And, of course, that led you to our Secrets of Successful Syndication event, which now you've been to a bunch of times, which is basically showing people how they can do more than just invest in their own account. So what was it about syndication that was attractive to you?
Well, absolutely. So to your point, I went about educating myself and I saw people who were very successful syndicating, i.e. aggregating, pooling money together to invest in larger deals. And that was appealing to me, not only because I could obviously extend my reach and the deals we were going after, but also share with others the opportunities that I saw. So syndication to me was a perfect fit. It was something I believed in. It was something that I felt I could do because I saw others successfully do it. And as you've said, there are clues. And I started looking at those clues and seeing how I could also put together a similar approach.
Well, one of the things I love about your story is that you and your wife really are impassioned about the side, which is helping other people. Some people think about syndication and think, oh, that's a way I can get more. But that's not the angle to come from, right? As we teach in syndication, it's about helping as many people as you can. And when you're offering them something that they can't find readily elsewhere, you run up against that, you know, I'm not sure how this all works. Take us through, if you would, this idea from I'm really excited about it, I want to share it with people, to the resistance that you meet when you bring a new idea to somebody.
Absolutely. And it's a path and a journey we went through. So we were passionate and are passionate and excited about what we're doing. We also wanted to share that with others. We thought it was a win-win. We would win, but they would benefit as well. But there was a resistance, quite frankly. We didn't want to be selling anyone on it. And it wasn't our personality. It's not our approach. But we believed so strongly in it, in fact, that we felt we almost had an obligation. Because as we've started to see success, and we hope to see more success in the future, we didn't want people that we knew coming back to us and saying, well, EJ, why didn't you share this with us? Why didn't you at least talk to us about it? And they can make their own choice. So our approach has been very informational, very educational, not hard sell at all, not sell at all, just sharing the opportunity.
Well, and how has that gone? I mean, you've reached out to people that are already in your sphere of influence, people who you thought, hey, maybe they'd be interested, and some are, and some aren't, and some think you're crazy, and some think it's the best thing ever.
Yep. So it's interesting, and you're absolutely right. Some immediately saw what we saw, and they wanted to be a part of it, and we welcomed them in, and they've been a part of it. Others, it just wasn't a fit for them, maybe timing-wise, maybe their perception as far as what they wanted to invest in, whether they wanted to invest in real estate inside or outside the U.S. Some are very comfortable in stocks or bonds or other investments. So it really was related back to their personal investment philosophy. And if what we were offering was a fit, great, then we could have further and deeper conversations. If it wasn't, then fine. You know, it was an enjoyable conversation, but wasn't the right time or place.
So now you have funded a syndication, participated in a syndication, and now are on your second syndication. Is it your guess that this time around it's a little bit easier?
Absolutely. So there's something called a learning curve, and I'm a big believer in it. So the first time we went through, there was a learning curve, but we embraced the experts and we learned as much as we could, worked with people who had done it before. And yes, there were some ups and downs and things you just had to get through, but we are successfully through our first syndication and raise. It was a great learning experience. We're now on to our next ones. And yeah, there's a lot of learnings that we're immediately applying. So there's a lot more momentum or acceleration in our future syndications.
I think for most people, the trepidation is the first one. It seems daunting to go out and raise money, but you make a great point, which isn't about selling someone on the idea of putting their money in your deal. It's about inviting and showing the possibility of a diversification strategy. In your case, your first syndication was outside of the country you live in, so that's a level of difference for people who haven't thought about that before. So I know a lot of your education has been about that part of it. But also, many of the people that invested with you probably hadn't done a private placement before. How much education is involved in helping to usher them into this type of investing?
Yeah, so there is a degree of education there, but it's an education that we saw people willingly wanting to go through. So we educated ourselves, then our investors, and we continue to do it. And that's really the approach. It wasn't selling, it was more information, education. And we saw that once people saw what a fit it was for their personal investment philosophy, they wanted to do it. So personally, our story was we wanted to diversify out of stocks and other types of equities. We, like many others, got hit pretty hard in 2008 and 2009. So we were looking to diversify. Real estate was a good fit. So as we went into that scenario, it was a perfect fit for others who were looking for the same thing. Again, it's about not forcing a fit. It's about finding like-minded or kindred spirits who are looking for what your syndication can offer. And if it's not a fit, well, then great. You don't work with them further. If it is a fit, you have further discussions.
Now, what about the point that people say, well, you know, I'm a little concerned about going to friends and family because, you know, what if they say no? How do you make it okay for someone in your sphere of influence to be able to say, you know, EJ, good luck with it, but it's not for me?
So as far as going to friends and family, and this was something we struggled with or had to go through ourselves. So, and it's not for everyone. We've talked with very successful syndicators who don't syndicate with friends and family. In the case of my wife and I, we decided to talk to our friends and family and to offer it to them. And like you said, it's okay to say no. We're sharing something because we believe in it. We believe it's a right fit for us. It may or may not be a right fit for you. Let's have the discussion. Let's have an educational, informational talk. And then if at the end it's not a fit for you, great. You know, we're going to continue on and we wish you the best where you go. So just laying out the ground rules, being very transparent, and again, not trying to push or promote or sell anything, just talking about what you have.
Now, I'm putting you on the spot when I ask this question, so you may have to think about it, and I may not even be sure, but I'm just wondering from the listener who's thinking, wow, this sounds good, I'd like to consider putting deals together. What would you guess is the number of people you have to talk to get a yes? In other words, you know, to get 10 people in my syndication, I need to talk to 20 or 40 or 400. What does that part of it look like?
So it's a great, great question. I'll answer it with, it depends. So it depends how qualified or how similar-minded the people you're talking to. So I'm a big believer, and in my full-time job, I'm in marketing. So we do a lot of time qualifying leads, you know, pushing them through the funnel, making sure that they're well qualified for what you have to offer. Similar with syndication. If you're talking to everyone on the street and just handing out business cards random or doing sort of a mass communication out, it's going to be a less qualified or a less of a fit. But if you are dealing with people or working and talking with people who have similar goals, objectives, investment philosophy, then it's a much more fulfilling discussion, much more satisfying. So it really depends. It's funny, in certain groups of people who are like-minded, who have similar investment philosophies, it's just a few. It's under 10 where you get someone who's very interested and wants to go further. But if you're going broader or less qualified or targeted, then you're going to be talking to a lot of people. And it's not only a waste of your time, it's a waste of their time as well. That answers the question.
That's a great, great answer. And I think it is different for everybody, but the idea of qualifying, brilliant, brilliant stuff. So let's talk a little about lessons learned. Now that you have successfully completed a syndication, funded, done, moving on to your next one, I wouldn't ask the question if someone hadn't reached that milestone yet, but because you have, what are some of the most important things you've learned on the path to completing your first syndication?
Yeah, so while it's a part-time endeavor in that I still have a full-time job that I really like doing, it does take a full-time commitment. So it's not just something you can do as a hobby or part-time if and when it works out. You have to dedicate time, set it aside, and really make it a full dedicated effort, even though it's only taking part of your time. So I think that's a big lesson learned. And meaning, if you're not sincere about it, don't believe in it, then I would recommend don't do it. It's not good for you or your investors. It's a very humbling and sobering feeling when someone gives you their hard-earned money to invest. And we feel an incredible obligation to put that to the best use that we can. So that's something. Dedicate your full effort to it when you are doing it.
You know, that's such a great lesson. I'm going to stop it just for a minute because we have seen people who have come in the door of, I'm very interested in syndication. They see Ken McElroy up there doing millions of deals. They see all the deals we've done. They see people like yourself who have done it. They go, oh, this is easy. Then they go home and they talk to 8 people and they go, well, nobody really wants to do it, right? You really do need to push through.
Indeed. And that was sort of my next lesson, that there will be ups and there will be downs. And I remember all very clearly, you're euphoric, I can do this. Yes, you have a plan. You believe in it. So you think others will believe in it as well. And then you hit the wall or something happens and you didn't account for something. So there are inevitable ups and downs. So I would say, if you believe in it, stick with it. Surround yourself with smart people who have done it before and who have the secrets to success figured out, and then just keep with it and perseverance. It's one of the most important traits, I think, in this or anything.
What did it feel like when you crossed the line, when you got your first deal done?
Incredibly euphoric, almost sort of a We can't believe that we did it. And, you know, the amount of money that we raised, and folks like Ken McElroy and others raised a lot more money, but this was a significant amount of money for us and our investors. So it was a euphoric feeling, and we were very happy about it and very glad to share that news with our investors, that we finally got over the finish line and they're excited about it, and now we're on to the next one. So it was incredibly gratifying and euphoric, I guess is the word.
Well, let's talk about momentum a bit, because what some people do when they reach a goal is they high five and sit on their laurels. And that's the opposite of what you've done. You've come out with your second syndication almost immediately. And now you've got to cast a wider net. You've got to talk to more people. I'm sure you're working referrals and all that. But talk a little bit about the importance of momentum.
Yeah, so it's incredibly important. So to your point, after we completed our first one, we already had started thinking about our second one. Now we're in market with it and starting to do the raise for that. So momentum's incredibly important, because success begets success. And we can now point to our first successful syndication. We can use reference selling and references and say, hey, talk to so-and-so who invested in our first one. And that's incredibly powerful, I think, when you see people who have invested in it and you can leverage that. So what we're trying to do is increase our sphere of influence. We still want to make sure that we're talking with and working with people who are like-minded, have common goals and objectives, same personal investment philosophy, so we're a fit from them. Just to digress a bit, you don't want to oversell, missell, or misrepresent what your deal can provide. And if you see that disconnect, you have to address it. You have to be strong enough or courageous enough to say, this may not be a fit for you. This may not be a fit for you. There are other things, and I'm glad to help you get there, or you'll find them on your own. But you really need to be consistent and true to what you're trying to do for you and your investors.
All right, great point. Now, not only have you attended our syndication event a few times, you're coming back in a few weeks. We're going to be in Chicago, which just happens to be your hometown.
Indeed. I'm originally from Chicago. My wife, Lynn, and I are both from there. We now live in Colorado, but that is home for us. So anxious to get back. And yes, this is my fifth Secrets of Successful Syndication event, and I learned something every time. I remember when I went back for the second time, I thought, oh, I've been through this. Well, I learned, boy, I was taking even more notes. So what's incredible is once you expose yourself to this and once you've gone through it like we have, not only do you have the content, you now have more context. And things make a lot more sense to you, and you pick up things that are even more valuable than the first time through it. So it's back to the point of perseverance, sticking with it, and momentum. They all play and lead off one another.
You know, it's maybe the same seminar. I don't think it is. It changes every time. We have different faculty and so forth, because we want to continue to provide different and useful information. But what happens is, as you have more success and you have more experience, you hear it with different ears, right? So I think it's awesome that you're going to come back. For the folks out there listening, thinking about coming to the event, EJ's not only going to be there, you're more than happy to spend time with people and answer questions and have them ask you about your journey.
Absolutely. That is one of the most gratifying aspects of being a syndicator, is not only can we help our investors who have trusted us and invested with us, I love to tell our story. And I love to help others who are at the same point in the journey, earlier in the journey, or farther on in the journey, and I learn from them. So one of the best things about the events is obviously the instructors and what is taught, but the people there are outstanding. They're there to learn, they're there to help, and it truly is a iron sharpens iron environment.
EJ, thanks so much for sharing your time with us. Congratulations on your success. I know you're just getting started.
Thank you, Robert.
You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. When we come back, we'll play real estate trivia, give you a chance to win a prize, and you'll meet another guy doing the thing today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Over the last few years, I've had the privilege of sharing the services of Paradigm Life with you loyal Real Estate Guys Radio listeners through our website, www.beyourbank.com, and also on the annual Investor Summit at Sea. Subsequently, we have seen a variety of financial situations across the socioeconomic spectrum and how everyone, regardless of their situation, would improve their financial lives by following the system we specialize in. As a result of this experience, we have created an online e-learning system so anyone without obligation can learn about the infinite banking concept. This free e-learning program is found on our website, www.beyourbank.com. So check it out today. The website again is www.beyourbank.com.
Here's a real estate trivia question for you. What does Elvis Presley's famous mansion Graceland and affordable positive cash flow turnkey real estate investing have in common? Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee is home to both Graceland and Terry Kerr's Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry specializes in trouble-free turnkey rental properties. Turnkey means Terry finds, fixes, rents, and manages the property, so all you have to do is put it in your portfolio and collect the checks. It's plug and play. That's music to my ears. Call Terry and his team at Mid-South Home Buyers at 888-510-6838, extension 118, or find them in the resources area of our website at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Gene Epstein, economics editor from Barron's, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Today, we're talking about evidence of success, proof that real investors are doing real deals, and you can be one of them. Before we meet our next investor, it's time to play real estate trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question, which in a few minutes you'll hear has something to do with real estate. And if you think you know the answer, quickly get it to us by sending an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com, trivia@realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer is going to win a copy of the ABCs of Real Estate Investing, the great book by Rich Dad Advisor Ken McElroy. That can be yours if you know the answers to today's question. Last week on The Real Estate Guys, we were talking about the future of money with Steve Forbes and other notable guests. Here was our question. The world's first gold vending machine was unveiled in May 2010. Located in an ultra-luxury hotel, the vending machine itself is covered in 24-karat gold, and it distributes gold coins, gold bars, all kinds of gold stuff. In what country is it located? The answer, Abu Dhabi. But the prototype was installed in Frankfurt, Germany in 2009. Either answer was correct. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Which country boasts the largest hiking trail? Yep, where is the largest hiking trail in the world? Which country is it? You don't have to name the trail. If you do, that's bonus points. But which country has the longest hiking trail in the world? If you know or want to take a guess, send us the best guess you have, along with your name and your physical mailing address to trivia@realestateguysradio.com so that you can win the ABCs of real estate investing from Ken McElroy. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking about proof of concept. Has it been done before? And if so, can you do it? Our next guest is a relatively new syndicator who has found success in a cool niche in real estate. Please welcome to the Real Estate Guys program, Mr. Danny Kalanoff. How are you, sir?
Hey, Robert. I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. Now, when we first met, you were doing a fascinating real estate investment that I think is kind of a cool niche. Tell us about kind of how you got into real estate, what you guys did to start out.
Yeah, well, I was working in a corporate American job with my wife, much like many folks probably listening out there today are. And, you know, we kind of came to the realization that we weren't sure if that's what we wanted to have our next 30 to 40 years look like every day, you know, come home after a stressful 12-hour sales job and, you know, have to deal with all the other things in life. And so the story starts back probably a little more in the past, really, with, you know, my mom coming to the United States from the Soviet Union with a little kid and working her way up pursuing the American dream, you know, being gone 12, 15-hour days. And then when the turn of the millennium came around and everybody lost a lot of their life savings and portfolios in the dot-com crash, my mom was a little confused as to why that had happened. And I think if somebody, you know, a little child came up to a parent and said, you know, mommy, daddy, why did we just lose 50% of our savings in this quote-unquote stock market thing? The answer to that question is not always that obvious, especially to the average investor or average individual. And so that single event really impressed upon me that I had to at least start thinking about securing my family's future through other means than just the traditional market. And that incident really spawned the notion that we need to begin investing or at least purchasing other types of assets besides paper ones. And so every year or so, my wife and I resolved to invest in some kind of real estate product. And so that's kind of how we got started. Over time, we realized that you would have to own a lot of little single family houses in order to ever make that significant enough to sustain a livelihood.
You know, let's just stop there for a minute, because that's such a point. I think so many people new to real estate think, oh yeah, man, I just need to get, you know, half dozen houses that are positive cash flow and I'll be great. But when you do the numbers, right, you put 20% down, you get in the right market, you get a great team, and maybe you're making $200-$400 a month times 10 houses. Is that really enough to replace your income or to give you the lifestyle you want?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think you say it the best. You got to start with your personal investment philosophy, not with the little red or green house. And if your personal philosophy is that you view real estate as a primary replacement of your ordinary income, then you have to either think bigger in scale, or you have to make the moves that you do that much more amplified. So instead of making $200 to $300 a month, is there a way that you can participate and make 10 times that? So we actually stumbled upon the vacation rental business by accident. We knew we were going to have a baby in the coming year, and we wanted to buy a property that allowed us to have the flexibility to have an extra unit available for an in-law suite or friends, you know, to come visit the baby. And when our permanent tenant moved out, we decided to put the additional unit on the internet online at a couple of the major vacation rental listing sites. And through that experience in the market that we happen to live in, we saw a tremendous interest in, you know, the exact same box, the exact same two-bedroom, two-bath property, but at, you know, a 4 to 5 times increased rental rate than what we were getting from our tenant. And that sparked a little notion in both of our minds that, you know, hey, if we took this and grew it, this could actually be our ticket out of here.
No, it's a brilliant, brilliant observation that what you can rent a unit for nightly is much different than what you can rent it for monthly. And you were in a market where you had those kinds of overnight visitors. And a lot of markets are like that. And a little more management. You had to get some systems in place. But you grew that portfolio to a number of units.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Once we saw that it worked with one unit, we wanted to test it out with three. And it was serendipitous that the threeplex next to the home that we were living in came on the market. And when that happened, we knew in our heart of hearts that we had to pull out all the stops. We had to do whatever it took to try to acquire that unit. Of course, within economics that made sense, but you know, it worked out that we were able to acquire that unit. And so we went from 1 to 4, which was, you know, 400% increase in our total inventory. And that really got the snowball rolling down the hill in terms of us seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with regard to how real estate could in fact set you free, if you will. And you know, it's not that it wasn't another job or work. It was work, but it was work on our terms. And as we started having success, we bought, you know, another subsequent threeplex after that, and then started doing other deals after that. Folks in our immediate network and in our sphere of influence, if you will, kind of saw what we were doing, and they expressed interest in coming along for the ride.
Well, this is great because a lot of folks as real estate investors get to the point where they recognize that their own income and savings and qualification can only get them so far. Many people reach the point where they say, hey, if I bring some friends along, if I start to look at a bigger picture, that can be a great way to take advantage of a niche like this that you found. So tell us about the early money raising that you did. What was that like?
Yeah. So even just to take a tiny step back from there, it was that need. So when friends started coming to us and saying, hey, if you guys decide to go purchase another threeplex or fourplex, we want to partner with you. That single question was kind of what prompted us to start listening to your show. So neither of us had resigned from our jobs at that point. We were just still kind of out there doing the thing. But we had this burning question that we needed to answer, which is how do we take other people's money and responsibly manage it in terms of investing alongside ourselves? And, you know, I have some business training and, you know, it was helpful, but it certainly wasn't sufficient to answer that specific question. So that's really when I opened my phone. I went to iTunes and I typed in, you know, shows on real estate investing. And I started listening to the podcast. And one of the events that you guys were hosting was, you know, Secrets of Successful Syndication event. And I sort of knew what those words meant. Not completely, but I put, you know, one and one together and realized that this was a course that, you know, was custom tailored for exactly what I needed at that point in my life. So that's kind of how we got started in it. As far as the early days, it's like anything. When you first, you're drinking from a fire hose in the early days. There's a lot of terminology. There are a lot of stories and testimonials from other people. And I think the resounding question that went through my mind for probably the first 3 months was, how on earth am I going to do this? how am I going to take other people's money, go out, find deals, raise capital, put together these long legal documents? There are just so many moving parts. You know, and I think anytime you look at learning something new that's big, you know, your initial reaction is excitement, but also maybe a little bit of trepidation.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's part of the thing is that you have to start from where you're at with what you have and get to whatever vision you have. And there's so many milestones and steps along the way. Fast forward to today, you've raised millions of dollars in lots of different deals in different markets in different countries. That's a fair amount of success to have in less than 2 years. So how do you get from, I think maybe I have some friends who'd want to invest with me, to structuring a business that can create this change where now you both have quit your jobs and you're doing this full time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Same applies to this. So I started off with a small deal, a $500,000 raise, one where I had a strong personal relationship with both of the folks involved. And there were three partners, really. So it wasn't huge, but everybody, you know, I set the table. I explained to everybody this was my first deal. They obviously knew me well enough to know that I would do the absolute best I could, but I didn't pretend to be somebody I wasn't and just let them know that, hey guys, if you want to come along this ride with me, you're going to need to be patient. And, you know, like anything new, there may be some ups and downs. And there were. But, you know, I think you just have to kind of focus a little bit on Pareto's principle. You're not going to learn every single thing from day one. So I asked a lot of questions. I interviewed a lot of people. And I asked people, what is the most important aspect of this business? And I got, you know, lots of different interesting answers. But I think, you know, the key really to getting started is, as Nike would put it, just do it. You know, it's very easy to overthink it, and you could spend a year just looking at different deals and questioning yourself. And, you know, I found a threeplex. I ran some numbers. I put together a pro forma. The numbers seemed to pencil. We lined up the capital well in advance of the property actually closing. So that's important, you know, because there's always this delicate dance, you know, do you have the deal or do you have the money? Which one comes first?
Right.
Bit of a chicken and egg thing. So, you know, we focused on having a common goal, raising the capital for that goal. And then when the deal came along, we were ready to move on it. So that was extremely helpful.
Now, let's talk about the psychology of taking other people's money to go do these deals. You sit down and you talk to people that are, you know, they found out what you've done or they've been referred by someone or you've had a lot of success in that. And you now have to counsel them. And there's on the one side where if someone's interested, you're like, well, yeah, I want money for my deal. But on this side, these are going to be partners for a while. So how do you talk to the folks who are your prospective investors about coming alongside with what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so that's a great question as well. And, you know, I kind of view the whole process almost like a date. You have your own profile, your own set of attributes, and so does the person that you're dating. And if things work out, then those two things overlap really nicely and they fit together and everybody wins. So I think on the syndicator side, our responsibility is to be extremely transparent about what the profile, what the mechanics of the deal look like. So by profile, I mean, what is the raise? What is the hold period? What is the expected range of return based on your analysis? And overall, sort of, you know, what type of investor is it geared towards? Is it, you know, somebody who's looking for a steady return over a 20 to 30 year period? The most recent deal that we did was a, you know, essentially get in, get out type deal where we raised a combination of debt and a share of profit on a sale, but it wasn't a long-term hold. It was a 12 to 14 month hold where, you know, you got your money in and then you got your money out. And for some folks, that is what they're looking for. So specifying exactly what the deal looks like, laying all your cards on the table up front is important from the actual investment side. And then in terms of the profile of the investor, really understanding what that person's goals and needs are and sitting down and spending time asking qualifying questions, asking them, you know, why are you doing this? What are you looking to achieve? What would catastrophe look like? I always like to spend a lot of time on the downside, explaining what, you know, the absolute worst case is and ensuring that folks are A, comfortable with that and B, understand it thoroughly.
That's such a good point. And I think setting the table at the beginning is so important if you're thinking long term, right? If you're just trying to fund a deal, it's different than if you're trying to build a career as a syndicator. And already I can see in your portfolio, you have different deals with different risk profiles, different durations. You're giving people choices, which is important. And now you've had some success, raised millions of dollars for multiple deals. Let's talk to the person out there that is thinking, this sounds great. I'd love to go be a syndicator. I'd love to raise money. What are the most critical lessons you've learned or things you would counsel that person that they need to be thinking about if they're serious about raising other people's money?
So I think the first thing would be to understand that this is not really a side job. I mean, you can do it part-time, but this isn't something that you will be successful at if you invest an hour or two a week. You need to carve out, I think, a chunk of your life and allocate parts to the natural cycle of learning any new thing. So, you know, in the beginning, there's the education part of the cycle. And I probably spent a good 3 to 6 months just learning, asking questions, talking to other people who've been doing it for a long time. And I spent 20% to 30% of my day, probably 4 to 5 days a week, on that task. I think you have to be honest with yourself in terms of where is this new venture going to fit in your life? Is this your new long-term goal for generating income? Are you going to be a professional syndicator and phase out the current, you know, means of sustenance? Or is this just going to be a side hobby that you're going to, you know, try out and kind of see how it goes? Which I think is completely acceptable as well. But I came to the realization that if I was going to be managing other people's money, then the golden rule applies. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I personally don't know if I'd feel extremely comfortable investing my capital with somebody whose mind share was divided amongst my deal and other things. So I personally decided that it was only fair to the investors and to the network I was trying to build that this be my primary gig. So that's a piece of advice number one, is just where does this fit into your life, and how much are you willing to work towards it?
And how long was it from the time you started syndicating to where you were able to both quit your jobs?
So we attended the seminar in February. We started putting together our first executive summary in the June-July timeframe. And we had raised the $500,000 in that first deal around the end of the year, say the third quarter of that year. So, you know, from the time that I took my first seminar to the time that we closed on our first syndication was probably a 7-month process.
Okay.
And my wife had already resigned to run the vacation rental business about 3 months prior to that. So she had resigned during that time frame, because we had resolved already to focus largely on real estate. And whether or not we syndicated, there was already enough in the portfolio for her to sort of manage full time. And then in February of the following year, so another 4 to 5 months later, I was already waist deep in my second offshore deal. It was almost $2 million deal. And it was at that time that I decided to fully take the plunge. So it was exactly 1 year from the time that I had attended the first Secrets of Successful Syndication event to the time that I put in my letter of resignation at my corporate job.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, because that's one of the questions people have. How long does this take? I'm afraid that some people think it can happen overnight, and for some it has. But also the other side, some people think it's going to take 10 years to build up a syndication business, and you're proof that that's not the case. So great, great stuff. Congratulations on what you've done so far. I know the best is yet to come, and thanks for sharing time with us today.
Thanks very much, Robert. Appreciate it.
You tune to the Real Estate Guys radio program. More when we come back. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you still sitting on the sidelines trying to figure out when and where you're going to buy those investment properties? Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Atlanta, Georgia is still on sale, but you better act fast because the deals are almost gone. Hey, this is Ken Corsini with Georgia Residential Partners, and I want you to know that there may not be a better investing opportunity than Atlanta right now. Listed as one of the fastest growing markets in the country, both in terms of jobs and population, Forbes predicts 26% appreciation over the next 3 years. At Georgia Residential Partners, we sell turnkey cash flowing investment properties. We also sell wholesale properties at insane discounts. We're launching a new home construction product this summer as well. And if you're still nervous about stepping out into another market, I will personally partner with you on a small portfolio of homes, if that's what it takes. Don't wait any longer. Check us out at gainvesting.com or call our office at 770-924-5450. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, this is Donald Trump, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for listening to the program. So awesome to get around guys that are doing the thing.
Absolutely. You know, it's like we said at the top of the show, the proof of concept, the notion that you can hear from other people that are just like you. You know, we have Ken McElroy on the summit, you know, over the last 5-6 years, whatever it's been. He's become a fixture there, which is great. And Kenny has become this bigger-than-life real estate investor. The numbers are so big. The number of units and the amount of money and the number of employees and the number of doors and his prestige and all that stuff is so big. And one of the challenges for Ken is just coming across as a down-home guy. And it's not, I mean, he does. He does a great job at it.
Because he is.
He's just a very humble, very matter-of-fact, very your everyday kind of guy. But nonetheless, when you're standing next to him, you're just thinking about how amazing his accomplishments are. And it's hard to bridge that believability gap and look at Ken McElroy and go, you know, I could be Ken McElroy. But the fact is, every time he tells a story about starting with 2 units and working his way up and raising him, when we met him, I think he had 60 investors, which is, you know, he was already big and he was already successful. And of course, he's magnified that success because that's the way it tends to work. The hardest pushing is getting the momentum going. It's the hardest at the beginning. Once you get the momentum and you start getting things rolling along, it gets a little bit easier, if you will. And I don't know that that means it gets a little bit better. You know, I mean, Donald Trump's book about his comeback where he had already, I mean, he was born into relative wealth, took over his dad's company, built himself up, and then got over-leveraged or the economy hit him at a time where he wasn't really ready for that kind of a downturn. I know exactly what that feels like. And then all of a sudden, you know, bam, you're knocked down. And it's that point where you decide to pick yourself back up. And if you read his story, you find out on the back end of that, he is bigger, better, stronger, and more confident than he was before it happened. I feel that way about myself. Probably one of the first big decisions is, you know what, I'm going to get rid of the paycheck. I'm going to get rid of the corporate security. I've got my wife. I got my kids. I have my bills, my responsibilities. And I'm going to bet on myself. And that's probably one of the most profoundly scary and yet empowering things any human being can do when you're trying to move from what Kiyosaki would call the E quadrant to the S or to the B and the I side.
Oh, and I think a lot of it is that syndication is like farming. You don't jump into it and instantly have success. It takes a while. You have to culture and nurture and figure yourself out and fill in the team members and all that stuff. It is a little bit of this pushing a boulder uphill. But once you do, you are no longer limited by your own personal funds or by your own ability to qualify. You're not even limited by the number of deals that you can mentally handle, because as you build your syndication business, as the gentlemen today have, as Kenny McElroy has, you bring on team members to support you in it if you choose to. We know a lot of successful syndicators that are one man or one woman bands, yeah. But we also know folks that have built up substantial practices and been able to leverage the efforts of others, which is what is great about syndication. And of course, we're big proponents of it. We're very excited to have our Secrets of Successful Syndication event happening closer to the East Coast for the first time. We're in Chicago, Illinois. We know that's not on the East Coast, but it's certainly closer than the events we've done. And we've got a whole bunch of great people signed up. What I love about this event is who shows up to it.
Yeah, and that's what happens. The more entrepreneurial types, the people who are a lot more ambitious, typically people that have had a degree of success or experience in real estate investing, they've got a portfolio, which means they've got a resume that's leverageable. They have experience. And now they're ready to go to the next level. And really, the only thing holding them back is capital. And so once they learn how to organize a company properly, and once they learn how to go about raising money legally, and then they get themselves in a position where they can get into bigger and more deal flow, then they've solved all the major pieces of the puzzle. And then it's just learning how to operate the machinery and whether they want to do it on a small time basis, as you said, as a solo operator, or they want to build a company where eventually they pull completely out and go from being an S, where they're operating the company, in Kiyosaki's world, as self-employed in the cash flow quadrant, to a B, where the business is operating itself. And then really they're reaping the benefit of having built the business. They're the majority shareholder or the sole shareholder, but they have their time back. And now they can go pursue other adventures. They can do things that they don't need to do because of the money. They do it because of the purpose, the mission. It just provides a lot of freedom. But the key is you have to start somewhere. And coming back to the theme of the show is proof of concept, is the idea that people just like you come to seminars just like this all the time. And while not everybody makes it and not everybody does it, some do. And there are success patterns. There are patterns and principles you can observe in other people and say, hey, you know what? That guy puts his pants on the same way I do. That guy doesn't have any better of an education than I do. That guy isn't any handsomer or stronger than I am. I mean, that guy's spouse isn't any more supportive or less so than mine. I mean, at the end of the day, if somebody else can do it, you can probably do it too. You just need to find somebody who's done it before who can show you how.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing about collapsing time frames, is that you can take 20 years to build a 20-year career, or you can do it in 5.
Right.
Right. And really what we try to do with most of our educational outcomes are field trips, where we try to teach you about a market, what we've learned in 2 or 3 years, in 2 or 3 days, or syndication, where we've been doing that for a dozen years. And now you can see how that works and step up and do it like these gentlemen in a couple of years, even sooner sometimes, is to see that, one, it is possible. That's proof of concept. And two, there are things you absolutely can do starting the day of the seminar to get in position to do it. So this whole show is just to give you some hope and some belief, and hopefully more belief than hope. The ultimate belief is belief in yourself. It's not to promote our seminar, although our seminar is coming up again, and we do this seminar at least 2 or 3 times a year, and it's a great opportunity if you're the right person. So who's the right person? Someone who already owns some units and recognizes that their own portfolio is limited by their own performance and ability and would like to get beyond that, or perhaps the person that wants to passively invest in somebody else's deal and wants to understand the inner workings of a syndication to see, is this the right type of investment for me?
Right. I mean, if you have sales skills, if you have business skills, if you have a big social network of people that would be interested in investing, and you're just trying to figure out how to put all the pieces together, that's kind of what it is. It's like this little smorgasbord where you get a chance to sample a few things and see different things, but then you get a chance to take it on and go to the next level.
Well, that's a point. It's not a master's class in syndication. It's a 2-day introductory course in syndication. Fairly inexpensive. You're going to fly to Chicago, spend a couple nights in a hotel. You're going to hang out with an enormously awesome group of people, because it's always been that way. This is our 6th or 7th one. The event takes place in Chicago, Illinois, August 15th and 16th, right around the corner. Get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com. Big thanks to our guests today for sharing their stories, their wisdom, their lessons. And next week on the show, you are going to meet an absolutely amazing real estate entrepreneur. We'll leave it at that for now, but we sure hope to see you next week on the Real Estate Guys radio program. Tell a friend about the show, and until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys radio show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys radio show.